You are listening to Enemy Combatant Radio with you live this evening for our Sunday weekly show. Myself, Pod P, and Mark B are in here, and we're going to try to stream some audio for you that was recorded out on the streets from the Chevron Texaco event, the direct actions that were happening there, and we will try to get to an interview with an artist here in the San Francisco Bay Area who has created a website which is an archive for stencil art, and on top of that a whole index and links page for things from culture jamming to radical politics and whatnot. And so we will be calling him in about a half an hour and getting him to chat with us about creativity against the war and similar topics there. And if you would like to call in as we're doing this program tonight, Enemy Combatant Radio Weekly, you can call us at 864-1006 is the phone number here at the SF Indie Media Center. And this is Enemy Combatant Radio, and we've been listening to Badawi, which is a very beautiful and complex mix of Middle Eastern, and well, this was an older one, but he's also gone into some territory. Raz Messinai is the brain behind Badawi, and he has created some newer stuff that is kind of a techno-ish influenced Middle Eastern sound, and been playing a lot of that. If you've been listening to Enemy Combatant Radio through some of these days since the war began, Badawi and Raz Messinai have been some inspiring sounds to be the bed of music behind the information that we're giving you here. So it's a little bit after 9 o'clock, and I'm going to just go back to Badawi a little bit until we can get some things queued up. A little bit of a late start here, getting some new server box set up, and we're set to go now. So ECR Weekly, about to begin. Thank you.
Boston radio stations are the voices of the revolution.
forces are under attack.
Queuing this tape. This is how it's coming into us. This is a pooling of resources between the networks. The president spoke at this podium, and here we're going to take a second pass at it. We'll show you that the tape is coming in again, and we'll hope that this time we have audio and can hear the president.
It's strictly for illustrative purposes only. The sole purpose of this program today is not to attack them, but more importantly to inform and protect you.
There are young Americans growing up here.
under this flag who doubt the promise and justice of our country. They live in neighborhoods occupied by gangs and ruled by fear. They're entitled by law to an education, yet do not receive an education. They hear talk of opportunity and see little evidence of opportunity around. Across the world, governments have heard this message. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Across the world, governments have heard this message. Now America is embracing a new ethic and a new creed. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it.
The general, I know where he is. He's pinning another medal on his chest. I saw him pinning another medal on his chest. Pinning another medal on his chest. If you want to find the colonel, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the colonel, I know where he is. He's sitting in comfort, stuffing his bloody guts. I saw him. Sitting in comfort, stuffing his bloody guts. Sitting in comfort, stuffing his bloody guts. If you want to find the sergeant, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the sergeant, I know where he is. He's drinking all the company rum. I saw him. Drinking all the company rum. Drinking all the company rum. If you want to find the private, I know where he is. I know where he is. I know where he is. If you want to find the private, I know where he is. He's hanging on the old barbed wire. I saw him. Hanging on the old barbed wire. I saw him. Hanging on the old barbed wire.
And you are listening to Enemy Combatant Radio here live with you on Sunday night. And that was the first track of an ECR compilation that if you would like to donate to the SFIMC, we could try to send you that if you'd like your money to go to supporting the radio projects here at the SFIMC and our crew with Enemy Combatant Radio. Normally we are up with this broadcast, netcast, as something to cover the bigger days of action that are happening, the direct actions and bigger protest days in the local Bay Area. And we do have some footage coming up later about the Chevron and Texaco action, and as well as what happened at the Port of Oakland the Monday before last. And but before we get into that information and those tapes, we're going to talk with an artist who is using the internet as well to inform people about what's going on with the war, and also taking a look at some creativity that is out there in the form of stencil archives. And stencil art, and his website is stencilarchive.org. And let's see if we have him on the phone to talk with. One second here.
Hello? Russell, are you there? Russell?
Yeah.
We have a bad phone line, so...
Hello?
A little staticky. Let's see if we can try to call you back. Hold on.
Okay, we're going to try to get a better phone system going here, so... I bring ancient relics like Wyclef did the zealot. I saw an iron curtain called hip-hop and got it open like Gordon Delson. Whirlwind, tornadoes, in the rainforest if you say so. KRS are the last of a roar like the Green Hornet in Kato. Zach De La Roca brings the enraged flow. But all three drop science and become the most powerful alliance since NATO. Your claim I'm selling crap, but you be doing that. Where you be doing that? You know the cops, they got a network for the toxic rock. Where you be doing that? Forget that flashlight out of my face. You claim I'm selling crack. Where you be doing that? The last emperor, KRS-One and Big Zach. Need I say the CIA be criminals in action? Cocaine crack unpacking, high surveillance tracking. Prominent blacks and whites giving orders for mass slaughters. I want all my daughters to be like Maxine Waters. When they flooded the streets with crack cocaine, I was like Noah. Now they lower, cause the whole Cold War is over. Communism fell to the dollars you were grabbing it. Only assault and battering in the name of intelligence gathering. Now it's karma you battling or losing fight. I choose the mic to recite, ignite light in the night. We should be. Him. President Clinton should delete him. It's not hard. The CIA simply has no more job. Oh my God, it's mother, you can fix this. We rock over mixes, not sixes, sixes. Yo, this is a message to all that can hear it. If you've got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearranging, see, times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B, yet it's plain to see. Who the enemy? Who's left? The NRA? The ATF? The AMA? Okay, okay. It's all irrelevant. Cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence. Yeah. Throw your hands up. You know what's up, kid. Throw your hands up. Okay, a little bit of problems here with a telephone line at the underfunded SFIMC here. We will try to get Russell from Stencil Archive back on the phone. I'm not sure that we will be able to repair that phone line, but this is your IMC center working out all the technicals with not much resources. So. Bear with us. And again, you've been listening to tracks that are on an ECR compilation that if you are interested to donate money to us, we could try to get that to you. Just put in your info that you'd like to support the radio station here. And for the time being, those two are a one entity. We're not sure if the radio station will be its own entity at some point, but right now we are part of SFIMC and broadcasting out of the SFIMC Center. So I want to thank all of the crew that helped make the SF Indie Media Center a very exceptional resource in these times of actions against war that are continuing. And so I am Pod P with you here tonight at the SF Indie Media Center, and Mark B is here with me and a couple of the other video activists who have been working with us very consistently through these weeks during the war with Iraq and elsewhere. Seems to be all over and all through, running through my mind through the through the days, it's hard not to think about it, and should not think about it. We need to really drum up some creativity here to find solutions at this critical stage in history. And there is lots of creativity going on out there on the web and in the streets. And so here at Enemy Combatant Radio on this new weekly program, we'd like to kind of take a deeper look at the tacticals that are going on with the sort of creativity that can bring peace back to our planet, something that we definitely need to act upon quickly, as things can definitely go a lot worse from here, or even if it doesn't get worse, it seems that many brutal, violent acts are going to get swept under the rug. So we want to keep you informed and try to come up together with ideas that will be an appropriate response and an effective response. And so that's what we are trying to relay here. And you can also, although we have a lot of stuff now kind of lined up to stream to you, we also can take calls if we do get this phone back in working order at 415-864-1006. But don't, just a word out, don't call us during an interview on the phone, because we can only pick up one call at a time here with our low, low tech resources at the radio station here. So I'm going to jump back into music and see if we can get the phone going, and we'll be right back. So we are back with you live at ECR, Enemy Combatant Radio from the SF Indie Media Center, and Mark B. has done a job on our phone, so we are back with Russell on the phone from stencilarchive.org, and we'll just bring him up into the mix.
Hey, Russell, are you there?
I am here.
All right, well, we got a clear line with you this time, and you are on the air.
Hey, that's a good thing.
You just get the levels with you, right? Still getting all the details figured out.
So I just gave a little bit of an intro about the fact that you have created this website called stencilarchive.org. And what can you tell us about that?
Well, it's officially a year old website, and how it started was I'd been documenting stencils, like taking, you know, actual photographs of them and putting them in a box for like about 4 or 5 years. And I wanted to make a book out of them. And basically what happened is a guy named Tristan Manco in Manchester, England, beat me to the punch and had a book come out. And so I was like, well, you know, I'll just make this free to everybody in the world and put it on the internet. So I started with my collection and knew a couple of people that collect photographs around the world, well, around the country then, and now I get submissions from all over the place.
We got the front page up here looking at your site, and you've got some also, in addition to Stencil Archives, quite a lot of resources linked there, and a lot of what we're doing here at SFIMC is looking at the creativity against the war. And first off, you know, you've got stuff up here about alternative links about Iraq. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you've created for links there.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I have two websites. One is actually called Happy Feet Travels. They're actually on the same, you know, they're hosted together. But I try to usually keep Stencil Archives separate. But when the bombs started dropping last month, basically what I did was I have a politics page with a lot of alternative news links on it. And the main thing I was hearing from people was like their parents, for example, were just getting, you know, getting the mainstream version of what was going on. So for all my visitors to the site, I decided to give them a link to the alternative links, so that they could, like, jump on through and find places like the UK press. They're a little more open and liberal about things than the American press. And then places like Indie Media, InfoShop, other things like that, GNN, the Guerrilla News guys. So, yeah, that's the reason for that.
Cool. What's been going on in your mind with all that's coming down right now, and you know, how is that affecting you, and what you are creating, aside from, you know, you mentioning wanting to get the alternative resources to people so that they're not absorbing the brainwashing going on out there, but, you know, how is it affecting your own creativity?
It's been pretty interesting. You know, on the stencil side, I managed to, you know, I actually have a day job and I was slow at work, which is a good thing. And I actually got downloaded a couple of photographs of George W. and made stencils, opened up the Illustrator application and made stencils out of his face. And I went to a party a couple of weeks ago, a local party here in the city. And there was supposed to be a stencil making thing going on, but the party was just too big. So I put them out there. There's like some stencil making materials in a back room with no one in the room. And I put those stencils out there and, you know, didn't know what would happen. And that was about 2 weeks ago. And just this week, somebody told me that they saw a stencil of George Bush's head with the word liar over it, down on like 21st and Cap down there. So, that's pretty good. On other avenues, I'm also into puppeteering, and we had a puppet event, and it was very relevant to what's going on in the country with Homeland Security and John Ashcroft, and we previewed that while the Thursday night, God, it was a month ago, on the 20th, we previewed that, and that was extremely relevant, and we had people in the staff, people in the cast were in jail getting bailed out from the protest that day, and, you know, people were late, the call times were missed, so, yeah, that was one way I expressed myself this past month.
Yeah, it probably got pretty chaotic for, I don't know, all kinds of productions that were going on, scheduled with one thing in mind, and then with this kind of drastically altering our mindsets. I think, you know, at least this piece, I did, you know, I know about it, and it was already sort of targeting all the issues involved, and I don't know, difficult times to kind of follow through on productions like that, I would imagine. But that was also a fundraiser for the Self Space community, right?
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, the first part of the show was basically about what's going on with Cell and just how Cell's, you know, having to deal with code compliance and all the permitting process. And the show gets shut down basically at the end of the night by this guy who marches in. He's got buffoons with uniforms on, and you know, he's a dictator, fascist character. So it was extremely relevant. And he gets his brain scanned, and we see the war, and we see puppets getting bombs dropped on them. So the shadow puppet show, and so it was extremely relevant. We were all just talking about it, and the show definitely went on, and there was actually about 60 people there, and it was a good thing to do. We took a moment of silence for what was going on, and a couple of other performers changed their performances a little bit that night to acknowledge what was happening in the world.
Great. Mark B., you want to jump in here at any point?
We have
Mark B. on the line as well.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to find out a little bit more about the site. I'm just looking at it now for the first time. Is this a site where people can actually download stencils to print out and create from the printout, or is it just sort of a photo archive of different stencil designs?
That is the number one most asked question recently. I've actually had two people today ask me that question. It's funny. There are other places. I do have some links at the bottom. If you scroll down on the main page, there are some links, and you'll actually see a couple of them, and they'll say Bush Stencil. There are a couple of sites, a few of which I found off of IndyMedia, that have protests, like Bush protest stencils. You can go there, and they'll let you download a stencil that you can print up. There's also another link on the page called stencilrevolution.com, and it's made by some graph artists in Australia. Very slick site. I'm completely impressed by it. And I don't know if they have it ready yet, but they've got a download page. They also have really good instructions on how to make your own stencil. I have a lot of instructions on how to make your own stencil as well. And mostly, back to your initial question, mostly it's just a documentation site. But if you look at enough of those photographs, you should get an idea of how to make your own stencil. It's very easy. It's one great thing about stencils. And practice is all stencil artists will tell you that the more you practice on it, the more you'll understand how you cut it out a certain way, how you draw it a certain way. But no, I don't do the downloads. Maybe I should in the future, since so many people are asking for it.
Yeah, it seems like you could have the PDFs right there along with the JPEGs, and then you'd have the full archive, you know, the actual stencil and the result of the stencil.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing about that is probably 95% of the stencils on the site, I have no idea who made them. And cutting out stencils, everybody has different styles, so a lot of people don't even use the computer. I guess I could scan a stencil. Well, you know, if you see it on the sidewalk, there's a lot of work involved, which I don't necessarily have time to do. Since this is on the air, if anybody has like EPS files or AI files or PDF files of stencils that they've made and they're listening, you know, please give them to submit at stencilarchive.org. And I'd love to put them on the site. There's a guy from St. Louis, like a few days after the bomb started dropping last month, he emailed out, he had PDF versions and EPS versions. And I've actually got it on this, it says no war and the A is an oil well. And there's the big circle with the bar through it. And he emailed it out to about 50 people. And we're like, email it out to more people. So, it's definitely out there.
Are you in touch with the SF Print Collective? Are you familiar with their work? And do you get some of their stuff up? Well, I guess it's not really stencil, but more of a poster art thing that's going on in the streets around the Bay Area that's been really powerful. Even before the war started, they had an image that was related to the Holocaust, and it said, never again. And this poster went up all over the place, and this is when kind of the first Homeland Security stuff was hitting the immigrant communities, and I'm just wondering if that's something also that is going up into your site there.
Yeah, I try to. My time is very limited, so I try to really focus on stencil art. But inadvertently, if there's a stencil on the wall with wheat pasted posters around it, you know, I'm gonna compose that a little different than if it's just on the sidewalk. So, yeah, there's definitely bits and pieces of posters show up on the site, especially on the Mission District and Valencia Street links, mostly Valencia Street. But, man, those guys rock. There's a poster right down the street here on poster wall on the street here on Valencia Street. And an art critic just wrote an article about that wall for the Chronicle. Here in San Francisco, and it was a very well-written article talking about the dialogue that's created just by the layers and layers of anti-war posters that have been put on the wall. It's the old police department. I think it's like 23rd and Valencia.
Yeah, I know that wall well. I think it is maybe even past 23rd. I forget.
Probably between like 23rd and 22nd, maybe.
Yeah, and there was an old Mission police station there.
Yeah, but that wall is amazing. I make a point to ride by it on my bicycle a couple of times a week just to see how the conversation's going. But there's stencils. If you look around, there's stencils all over that wall. They're like on the sidewalk. There are a couple on the bottom of the wall. I think there's a couple at the top, like high up. I don't know how those were done, but they're definitely up there.
Well, something else we've been talking about here a lot on Enemy Combatant Radio is just the tacticals of the art worlds out there reacting and responding to war and what's happening with direct actions and all of that. And obviously, with a site that's about stencil archives, you've been thinking, you know, your mind is in the tactical world as well in terms of art response, and you know, maybe share some of your thoughts about tacticals against war.
Using stencils?
Well, just art in general. Well, you know, you also mentioned the puppet show and using, you know, a wide variety of mediums here to respond, and maybe just like from a big picture of things, you know, how do you see the art movement trying to make change, let's say?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I try to put it in perspective. I mean, we're kind of in a leftist, whatever, political vacuum here in the Bay Area. And, you know, you drive right outside of the Bay Area and you've got NRA, We Support the War billboards. You go to places like, I'm from South Carolina, you go to South Carolina and, oh my God, you know, that's all. You can't even, you know, wear a peace symbol on a shirt, you know, in some parts of the country without getting completely harassed for your freedom of expression. So artistically, it's like, you know, how do you reach the people that are potentially, you know, borderline, you know, kind of agreeing about it, kind of not agreeing, not too sure, weary of mainstream media? How do you do you get to them through art? And, you know, how do you get to even the hardcore people, the very fundamentalist Christian Republican people? How do you get through them? How do you get to them through art? And I've seen some interesting things. I think Michael Palin, somebody from Monty Python, wrote this completely absurd story about their neighbors and not trusting the neighbors and wanting to kill them, and it was just all a parable about the war. And that was an email that wandered around, you know, and since he's a member of Monty Python, everybody loves Monty Python. So that's a pretty good artistic tactic.
That might have been Terry Jones, because I read some really great stuff from him, and he kind of brought up that analogy of, like, if you wanted to go out after the IRA, would you bomb Boston?
Yeah,
And it kind of took that whole route of logic, and he made a really funny spoof on the whole war against terrorism. That was, but he's written a few, so I don't. Maybe it's not the same one you saw.
That could very well have been it. You know, things bounce around forever on the internet. Another way is, you know, I can't tell enough people how Bowling for Columbine is just this. I mean, it was this amazing documentary that packed the houses, and not only in San Francisco, but the whole country. I mean, it was like this huge documentary. And if Michael Moore can reach, you know, the middle of the road people who aren't too sure about George W., then that, you know, film is another good tactic to reach the public with.
I read a funny quote on some UK news site today, and it was talking about Michael Moore and Greg Palast breaking into, you know, into the mass consciousness a little bit, and Greg Palast saying about Michael Moore was he was like the first writer that took down the Berlin Wall of information of corporate media so that people can see through it all and see what's going on. He was like the first ramrod through the Berlin Wall, and now people are really in a big way starting to get a lot more information about how we don't get the real info. And so, yeah, Michael Moore is really out there and getting the info to people who would never otherwise, you know, not plug into indie media world type stuff.
Yeah, you know, I watched television for about a total of an hour last night, and flipping channels just happened to see Tim Robbins speaking in front of the journalists, was it the press club last week, and it was his response to being banned by Cooperstown by the Baseball Hall of Fame, he and his wife like being canceled for some Bull Durham event, but his speech was amazing. And you know, there's Tim Robbins, he's a Hollywood actor, director, Oscar nominated director, you know, he's got some power in the world, and not just leftist, liberal, whatever you want to give a label, you know, that side of the spectrum. Not everybody, you know, other people like him, people, conservative people like his stuff. So his speech was amazing, and it was on C-SPAN, and he was talking about all of his nieces and nephews being harassed during the war, basically because of he and Susan Sarandon for their views. You know, they're like, I call them cracks. And definitely art and artists are the people that fill the cracks in the world where there's, you know, let the information leak out, and the mainstream people definitely pick it up.
We're going to go into a little bit later. We have some footage of what's happened at the Chevron Texaco direct actions, and also the Port of Oakland that was trying to shut down the APL, American Presidential Line, shipping war cargo out. And just wondering if you've been following those stories and what you think about the direct actions that have been happening.
Yeah, sadly enough, you know, I got the day job. I did on the 20th last year. I was definitely downtown for that. That was probably one of the most amazing things I saw since the Seattle WTO shutdown. I think it's really good to go after the corporations that are making the money off of the war effort. To see the headlines on the Chronicle saying Bechtel to repair Iraq or to fix, will rebuild Iraq, you know, that's a pretty big thing. And, you know, not everybody reads it with the kind of skeptical way that maybe you and I would look at it. But the protest, you know, Bechtel's been in the news for like the last month because there's been a series of protests. They have it barricaded off constantly because of all the arrests and protests that have gone on in front of Bechtel. And here we go. There's Bechtel making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars off of the destruction of Iraq. So I think it's very effective what's going on against the corporations right now.
Well, Russell, I want to thank you for talking with us on the air tonight at Enemy Combatant Radio, and we're gonna go out here with a Michael Moore piece, actually a remix, since it kind of goes along with what we were talking about. And yeah, thanks again. And you can check out Russell's work at stencilarchive.org. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before we move on with the program?
Yeah, the only thing is if you see stencils around and you have a camera, please photograph them, send the photographs to me, submit at stencilarchive.org, and they'll be on the website in a month.
All right. Thanks a lot, Russell.
All right, man.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward.
I don't have any conclusions here, but as a citizen, I'd like to ask a few questions. And that's a question I'd like answered. What are the financial connections between the Bush and the Bin Laden family over the years? Now, what's that all about? Because if you go to the BBC website, you'll see a story that starting in 1995, the Taliban first sent a delegation to Houston to meet with oil company executives while George W. Bush was president. What's that all about? Well, they were there to discuss the building of a pipeline across Afghanistan, the Unocal pipeline. Who was going to help build the pipeline? Halliburton. Who's the head of Halliburton? Big Dick Cheney. Now, what's that all about? Big Dick Cheney. Now, what's that all about? Big Dick Cheney. He blew it when he got in bed with Kenny Boy because there's nothing worse you can do to the average American now than tell them their 401k is not safe. Your 401k is not safe. So let's go running to the stock market. They'll save us. Let's all get a 401k. And then the seventh largest company in the country, the seventh largest company in the country, every single pensioner, retiree, or person who works for that company has lost their pension. The company that handpicked the head of the regulatory agency that's supposed to oversee Enron? The company whose vice president is now the secretary of the army? The company whose lawyer is now the White House counsel? The company whose accounting firm, their lawyer, is now the head of the Security and Exchange Commission? And his job is supposed to oversee the phony baloney, crap-baloney stock prices? People get it, man. They're not stupid. They get it out there. And they're frightened and they're scared of him. Not Osama bin Laden.
Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
And I'll never believe anything that anyone in power tells me again. I start with the assumption they're lying, and it is their job to prove to me they're telling the truth. Now, what's that all about? Now, what's that all about? They're tired of the lies. They know this is all a lie. They know they're being lied to. I got it figured out, folks, all right? We live in a country, look, the reason why he gets the 80% approval rating is because the American people... Like,
this is Enemy Combatant Radio broadcasting from San Francisco Indie Media. We have now some reports from the actions at the Oakland docks. Was that April 7th? April 7th, just a couple weeks ago, there was a direct action to stop the war against APL Lines, which is one of the major shipping companies sending U.S. Department of Defense military supplies over to the Gulf region. In other words, this company has been profiting off of the war on Iraq and will continue to do so as long as the American military infrastructure continues to build up and maintain itself in the Gulf region. And so there was a targeted direct action early in the morning to form a picket line to prevent the port workers from getting to work and also to basically ask them not to go to work voluntarily and to basically form a combined protester and worker picket line that would shut down APL port, the APL dock, for that one work day. Now, as you may have heard, there was a strong police presence early on by the Oakland Police Department, and they arrived in full chemical protective gear, gas masks and everything, rolled out of their police vans, and basically started shooting from all the reports that were posted to SFND Media. You may have tuned into last week's Enemy Combatant Radio show where there was some discussion on this, but this week we have some of the videos that have been screened recently. We're going to play you at least the audio portion so you can hear some of the sound of the Oakland police gunfire as they shot the wooden projectiles and rubber bullets and other things that they were attacking protesters with that morning. Also, we have interviews with some of the protesters who were out there to get their response and their version of what happened. Now, you may have heard some of the police officers who didn't want to be named, they went on the record suggesting that protesters were throwing things at them, but none of that has been confirmed. I mean, as far as we've heard from our reports, it seems that these were peaceful protesters who were not doing anything to provoke the police. They were essentially attacked right off the bat. So let's go to some of this video that was shot by Gino, and later on we'll have some video shot by Jeff, and we can check out the audio and maybe get a report from Gino on how things went that morning.
Yeah, so basically this video footage is a combination of footage that I shot and Jessica shot earlier that day, April 7th. And, this is basically the selects from the raw footage that we screened last night at Dolores Park. And we're going to play the audio from that. And the first thing you're going to hear, we're going to start with the actual shots of the police firing wooden bullets and concussion grenades and all sorts of projectiles. And then you'll hear interviews from protesters who were wounded from those projectiles. Obviously, people listening can't see right now, but right now we're watching one of the protesters get run over by a motorcycle cop on her foot, and they don't even seem to care. They seem to basically just ram their motorcycles into people, and they're definitely aggressive, and they were using a lot of tactics, like having basically like snatch squads as we were watching right now. they would send like two or three cops and target a single protester for whatever reason. I mean, just like for people who have done absolutely nothing, but they would just, you know, target people and go after them.
Back again? Okay. Do you want to say what happened to you? Or you don't have to talk if it hurts.
We were crouched down on a car, and when we tried to get up and move, the police actually moved into us on their bike. And then they told us to move, and so we were running, and as we were running, he had to have been aiming at me, and he hit me, and I don't know what he hit me with.
Okay. Thanks.
We need to try and get her
away from this situation.
We need to get her out of this situation.
My name is Clay Henson, and I go to school at UC Berkeley. I was out here protesting against the shipment of munitions to help destroy Iraq right now is going on. As we were told to leave, and as we were leaving the place that we were protesting, we reached the street, and the Oakland police opened fire on us as we were walking away, kept pushing into people. People regrouped in the street in a group to try to, like, you know, stay together and, like, not panic and run each other over. The police read a dispersal order, and very quickly thereafter, they opened fire at us from very close range, probably, I guess, from about as far as I am to about... closer than that blue vehicle right there, the Chronicle van. I was probably about here at the police lines right there. They opened fire all at once, rather than like advance towards us, and they shot at that us, the whole crowd, being included, with rubber and wooden bullets and concussion grenades. As I was fleeing with the crowd, walking away, trying to stay calm and not like trampling, several times in the back.
So in this video portion of this interview, we're watching wounds that this protester is showing on video, and it's very graphic. It's looks like he has like pretty swollen up wounds the size of, you know, baseballs on his
back. I'm not sure what it was because I was walking away as it hit me in the back. I don't know if it was concussion grenades or whether it was wooden or rubber bullets. I know that all were being fired into the crowd.
For wooden bullets, there was nothing that's that big.
I saw them flying past me and I saw the explosions in front of me. So I don't know if the ones that hit me in the back were rubber or wooden bullets or whether it was concussion grenades or what.
So, have you talked to the police yet? What has their response been?
I've talked to police walking all the way back to the West Oakland BART station over the past 8 or 10 blocks. There's been police stationed at every corner, and I've spoken to all of them. I've been met mostly with silence. A couple of the California Highway Patrol were shocked, but essentially said they could do nothing about it because it's not their jurisdiction. And then I got here to West Oakland BART, and I talked to that BART police officer right there. Could you get a shot of him? I'd like to have his name and badge number, especially because he had a very interesting response. And I talked to this Oakland police officer right here,
who is this guy who's going to take my statement. Uh-huh.
The taller blonde man who's a BART police officer. I was asking if anybody had any personal responses or institutional responses, and the taller blonde man just stood there silently smiling. So I said, you know, that's the same response that the Nazis and the Stalinists gave when they saw police brutality happening to their citizens in their countries, and I felt he was supporting that, and he just continued smiling. He was totally unperturbed by his role in all this.
I got her water.
Would you like the messy remedy? Do you need water?
Sorry.
Okay. I just want down a little. I just need you to lift up your tongue, and I'm going to put it right underneath, okay?
Do you know what happened?
She took one of the rubber yellow beanbags. It ricocheted off someone else and hit her in the head. I was piggybacking injured people, and someone got ran over. The motorcycle ran over her foot. I was carrying her to a van, and they were covering my back because her back was exposed. And the cops started shooting at her head, and at the van we were taking people to, and she got hit in the head. And I took one in the back, and my friend took one in the back, and the girl I was piggybacking took one in the back.
Did you guys get the pink bag?
We ran. I put girl in the van, and I grabbed her, and we took off. Because we were right at the back of the line, because I was carrying people who couldn't walk. So, worked out.
You probably want to get the do not fire directly at persons as serious injury or death may result.
My name is Scott Boning, B-O-H-N-I-N-G, and I live in Richmond, California. I came down here to pick an APL that's sending war material over to Iraq, but I didn't get very close to it. I got about 100 yards away, and I see people starting to run away from the police, and the next thing I know, they're shooting these wooden pellets like this. Now, I was walking away. I was walking slower than some people, and I happened to turn to see where they were behind me, and that's when I got hit in the face here. I got hit in the finger and two or three times in the back. My back doesn't look as bad as these guys do. I think I could have gone through a couple layers, but it hurts. I'm really glad it hit my eye.
Can I get a close-up of that?
Yeah, sure. I don't know how bad it looks. I haven't seen it myself yet, so. It stinks. It's not broken or anything, but I was not hit full-on, fortunately. So.
Did you hear any kind of discharge?
I didn't even get close to the thing. I was about 100 yards away when they started shooting the stuff. I thought people were leaving, so I hung around for a little while, but then I started leaving, too. As I said to this guy, I was walking away, and I happened to turn around and see all these wooden bullets flying around me. So I don't get it, because people were already leaving. That's what really kind of burns me about this. People were already leaving, so what was the purpose of shooting people with these wooden pellets and these little beanbag things they've got and these percussion grenades? What was the purpose of that? It has nothing to do with the person in the crowd, because they were already dispersing, you know? So it's got to have to do with intimidation.
I was doing videography witnessing of people who were being hit and run over and shot at by the cops when they were firing shock grenades and wooden bullets at other people. And so when they gave the orders to disperse, they were telling us to move away. I was moving away, walking away as quickly as I could, and they were shooting directly at people on purpose, and they shot me in the back of the leg and kept throwing more and more of the shock grenades right in front of me, so it was actually fairly difficult to walk forward. And it kept going like that for a long time. I was right against the fence. I had nowhere else to go. And it happened repeatedly for about an hour.
What happened when the concussion grenades go off? What is it like?
Well, sometimes they would throw them in the air and they would explode in the air. It's a bright flash and really loud noise. And then kind of sparks fall all over people. And sometimes they would explode when they hit the ground, and so they explode right there. And sometimes they would hit people and explode on the people, and they would burn through the people's clothes and onto their skin. And it was really bad. I mean, because they throw them into the crowd. It's not like they were just pushing the crowd back. They were actually trying to cause chaos in the inside part of the crowd. So.
However, some of the longshoremen who were waiting to get into work say they got caught up in the whole mess, and they say they weren't doing anything at all.
Hey, get out of the way! Get out! What are you doing? Get out of the way!
Simon.
Relax.
We are here. And once again, these protesters are out here. They've just stolen our telephone. They slashed our tires just a little bit ago. So, I tell you what.
So, right now we're watching a pretty funny altercation that happened between Channel 5 reporters who was trying to basically make some kind of a report on the projectiles fired by protest. I mean the police, and I think they were trying to use like a little flag, tiny flag on a metal tube or a pipe that a protester brought out, and somehow they get a hold of, and that they were going to say that the it was one of the weapons that the protesters threw, and obviously one of the angry protesters who saw that went in and grabbed one of the I think one of the canister for wooden bullets, and the reporter started basically pushing him away, and some funny things happened, and there was a chase kind of ensued following that altercation, and right now we're showing a Channel 5 news van shortly after that footage was shot with one of their tires slashed, and one of the cameramen asked me
what happened to your tires
if I was rolling.
What's that?
Somebody cut that? That'll stop the war.
So I think this is about the end of the video footage of that.
All right, thanks, Gino. That was some pretty intense footage. You could check that footage out at the next video screening, perhaps. When is the next screening?
Well, there is something scheduled for the 27th, Sunday the 27th, which is a party for Whisper Media that ATA is putting on. And then and I believe that's at 8 or 8:30 p.m. at ATA on Valencia Street. And so that's the next video activist event scheduled. And then we have some other stuff coming up with Anti-Globalization Guerrillas is part of Craig Baldwin's other cinema program. And aside from having things like footage from or films from the Yes Men and Reverend Billy and Whisper Media, I'll be there spinning Pod P and a guest from neighborhood-based coalition Zero K. So we'll be doing the audio culture jams for that event, and that's on May 3rd. So that's the only upcoming screenings, but maybe Gino can also tell you about the tape that's available.
Okay, I was actually going to say a good website to check is the Video Activist Network website, which is videoactivism.org. And so I think that usually has the latest a list of upcoming screenings. And, of course, we're going to update the SFIMC website as we can get someone to do that. the compilation tape. We do have a compilation videotape called Shut Down Downtown Falktown that features a lot of the videos that we've been screening lately in Dolores Park and elsewhere in the city. Consisting of, videos that from the first couple of weeks of the war, where things were really intense in the streets, it's a really excellent video. You can get it from Whisper Media. The website is whispermedia.org, and you can also call us at Whisper Media, which is 415-552-7959.
Those tapes are being tabled at any of those video activist screenings. So
well, just to recap real quick, the screenings are Sunday, April 27th at ATA. That's at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, May 10th, also
May 3rd
at ATA. That's at 8:30 p.m. ATA is located at 992 Valencia Street at 21st Street here in San Francisco. And then at the Red Vic Movie House, we have a screening coming up on June 10th. And I'm sure more details on that will be posted to videoactivism.org.
That's correct. I've yet to update the videoactivism page about the Saturday, May 3rd screening at the ATA. I just want to mention briefly about the screening that Craig Baldwin of Other Cinema is going to be doing for us. It's going to have a Bush pinata there. So if you want to participate in a festive pinata type party, that's going to be going on. And of course, we've got beats by the famous DJ Pod P.
All right, Pod. Now, I did want to just say that at least one IMC videographer was injured at the docks in Oakland a couple weeks ago. And so this is some crucial and dangerous work that we're doing, being out on the streets and witnessing and recording the police brutality faced by all of the anti-war protesters and the workers who are joining with them in solidarity. So please do everything you can to support the IMC video activists as we bring you the footage raw from the streets, uncut, whether it's in Dolores Park or at ATA or wherever else we have our screenings. We do want to make sure you come out and give us that support. And we have one more video clip to bring you the audio portion of. This is by, do you want to, Jeff, go ahead.
This is from April 12th. There was a very festive band out April 12th. It was a rainy day, but a lot of us came out to the streets of San Francisco. This was actually quite festive and fun event, and there was this was not marred by any police violence that I know of. So protesting can be fun. The other thing is I was interviewing this woman who just goes by the name of Joyce, and Joyce is very articulate. She had been out there on April 7th, and what happened was, you know, the order to disperse was given, and she wasn't given enough time, and she witnessed a lot of what happened out there. So she's talking about that. The other thing she talks about is the need to do direct action and to stay active in giving resistance to this war policy. And the great thing about Joyce is that she was there on the 7th. She saw all that stuff go down. She was not deterred. She was out there on the 12th protesting, walking with us. And then, of course, she was at the Chevron Texaco action as well. So let's go now to the interview with Joyce. It's streaming Real Media, so it's a little choppy. It's on crazyjeff.net if you want to look at that.
Yeah. I think it makes a lot more impact to do direct action than to just rallying and stuff. I think we need to start, you know, holding the corporations accountable.
Well, blocking stuff is actually associated with the war machine and stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm going to be at Chevron on Monday, and I'm just happy to we're stopping local traffic here, but we need to maybe, you know, hurt them in their pockets a little bit, get them to start being accountable for all the destruction that they're profiting from, and they're helping pretty much continue they're the backing behind this all.
Yeah, so. That seems like a really good tactic now, too, especially since, like, the image of the Saddam statue falling went everywhere, and it's kind of weird on the sort of PR front, like, you know, in terms of just a mass rally kind of thing. So maybe like a little more focused action at the actual points of production, you know, that are supporting the war is actually a good idea.
Especially now since we are fighting occupation now. So these are the people that are going to continue to occupy Iraq, and are going to continue to see the profits, and almost are showing what this war is all about. You know, they're moving in, it's like with $4.8 billion contract. So, you know, you can see the dollar signs in everybody's eyes starting to light up, and it just kind of proves what we're out here for, but it is about money and it's not about liberation. So.
Well, that's great. If we can make those corporate connections to the war that the media is not doing.
sort of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have to keep out there because, I mean, I'm glad we're out here today. Otherwise, then we show that we're okay with it now that it's over.
We bought the whole image on CNN, too. Even though there's no cameras over at the hospitals, you know.
Yeah.
It would have been a different story.
I think what they're commenting on right now is the Halliburton $7 billion contract for putting out oil wells.
All right, that was video from crazyjeff.net here on Enemy Combatant Radio. We are broadcasting from San Francisco Indie Media. It is April 20th, 10:32 p.m. In case you are listening to a rebroadcast, we are actually coming to you live on Sunday, April 20th, 2003. Check out Enemy Combatant Radio at sf.indiemedia.org, where you can always find a link to listen. And we will have a revised and rejuvenated Enemy Combatant Radio website up at radio.sfimc.net. When this is fully operational, you'll find links to all of the various streams that are mirroring and relaying Enemy Combatant Radio, so you can tune in to a stream near you physically, and that way it will distribute our bandwidth load across the internet more equally and reduce our operating costs here at SFIMC. So stay tuned for that change to our website.
I just wanted to also give some calendar info here about what's coming up next in terms of direct action to stop the war. And to find out that information on the web, you can go to actagainstwar.org. And this next action is to stop the war makers, a mass demonstration and nonviolent direct action at Lockheed Martin. And that's in Sunnyvale on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, April 22nd. Lockheed Martin is the world's largest weapons manufacturer, and you might have seen a little clip about them in the Michael Moore film, which we were talking about earlier. They use our tax dollars to create many of the weapons of mass violence that killed nearly 2,000 Iraqi civilians earlier this month. I'll just read a little bit more further. As the documents below show, they push for the U.S. government to engage in, quote, war without end in order to maximize their profit, leading to a reckless foreign policy which endangers the lives of civilians and U.S. servicemen and women worldwide, and ultimately U.S. citizens within the USA itself. So if you are interested in going to that direct action, get the details at Indie Media or actagainstwar.org. This Tuesday, I believe, Enemy Combatant Radio will be covering that live from, the action starts at 5 p.m., so we will try to be up at 6 p.m. That's the Spokes Council meeting, which was tonight. The action on Tuesday will begin...
Well, the action will be early in the morning on Tuesday. I don't know if we have the exact time here, but Enemy Combatant Radio will be on early that morning, and we'll have people calling in from Lockheed. However, we do need more reporters on the streets, so if you'd like to call in, please do. It's 415-864-1006, and you can call in, and we will be here to take your calls as long as Enemy Combatant Radio is live on the air.
That goes for now, too. If you're out there listening, give us a call, 415-864-1006. And thanks for listening out there, whoever's out there. This is tonight just a netcast, but at times we are in collaboration with San Francisco Liberation Radio, which is at 93.7, and they are at times, it's sort of sporadic, but are relaying the netcast here out of the SF Indie Media Center.
Now, the last major direct action to stop the war was at Chevron Texaco World Headquarters, which is located just east of Oakland, over the hills in San Ramon. This was this past Monday morning, where maybe as many as 500 protesters gathered at around 5:30 a.m. in the in the remotest parts of the far-flung Bay Area suburbs, San Ramon, where it's a land of freeways and shopping malls and office parks. They gathered from all corners of the Bay Area in vans and buses and carpools to shut down Chevron Texaco for just one day to protest the U.S. oil company's support of the war on Iraq, and also to protest particularly Chevron Texaco's intimate ties to the Bush administration. Of course, Condoleezza Rice is one of the advisors both for the Bush administration and for Chevron Texaco, and she has an oil tanker named after her. Chevron Texaco has picked up many lucrative contracts already in Iraq through the Oil for Food program, which supposedly has been, you know, set up for humanitarian benevolent purposes by the United Nations, and now is being reformulated by the U.S. occupation government to expand vastly its exports from Iraq, directly benefiting U.S. oil interests and U.S. Officials like Bush, Cheney, and other officials who will personally profit just as the oil companies are profiting. Now, this protest did not result in the sort of police crackdown that we saw the week prior in Oakland. However, there were targeted arrests of certain activists, particularly activists of color. And when protesters formed a picket line that essentially sealed off Chevron Texaco, the police did, when they needed to, violently push aside this line in order to let employees in and out of the Chevron Texaco campus. Protesters who were forming a sitting blockade of the entrance gate were slowly, one by one, arrested, cited, and released, as far as I know. So I have coming up an interview with Natasha, who is an activist on the scene at Chevron Texaco last week, and she was one of the people who was having some words with Chevron Texaco employees as they barged their way through the lines of protesters, basically explaining why the protesters were there and why the workers shouldn't go to work just that one day to protest the actions of Chevron Texaco and the actions of the Bush administration.
Well, I was just going to read this one thing. I really like this part on the ActAgainstWar.org website about why are we taking actions against the corporations, unplugging the corporate war profiteers? We hold corporations, including Bechtel, Citigroup, the Carlyle Group, and Chevron Texaco, accountable not only for their profits from this war, but the fact that they made this war possible through their investments, operations, weapons, lobbying, political contributions, and drive for unending profits, regardless of the toll on human life, the environment, or society. So if you were looking at the San Francisco Spineless Chronicle last Friday or so, I believe it was, it came out, they had Bechtel being in the headlines about the massive contract that they were expected to get about rebuilding Iraq, and that was earlier one of the targets of these actions. And so I think we're going to go to this audio now from San Ramon.
That's right.
Okay.
So you've been talking to some Chevron Texaco employees this morning. How many employees have you talked to?
I have no idea. Maybe 100. I don't know.
What have you been telling them?
I've been telling them everything I can think of in a short span of time. And as they're walking past me and the cops, try to push me aside, and I walk along the fence, between them. So I say things like, Chevron is a war profiteer. Excuse me, sir. Chevron's a war profiteer. And Chevron is responsible for poisoning people in Richmond, California, where the community there has been trying to shut down the refinery for over 50 years. I mentioned the fact that it has been indicted with the Nigerian government for killing people in Nigeria who have been protesting the pipelines that are destroying their lives there. I've talked about the Amazon and Chevron's role there, and that's usually about as much as I can get in the short span of time I have.
What connection does Chevron Texaco have to the war in Iraq?
Chevron Texaco to the war in Iraq? Well, I actually can say that I don't know exactly how much or numbers or anything, but I know that they are profiting from this war, that they are going to be getting crude oil from Iraq, and it will be brought to Richmond, California. And the world headquarters is here, so it's definitely the Bay Area's responsibility to be here as well.
So what do you think these employees should do? Should they go to work and maybe work to change Chevron Texaco, or should they just not show up? What would your preference be?
I mean, personally, I'd like to see them not show up. I mean, especially since this is a one-day event that we're having at this moment. They have every excuse in the world not to go to work today, and yet they're so eager to get in there. It's unbelievable. I think that in terms of solving the issue, it's like it's massive. You know, it's talked about redirecting all kinds of money and resources toward healthier ways of fueling the things that we need. And so it's not like a simple little shift we need to make. So, you know, people need jobs too, so I understand that. But I don't think people should. I personally could not work for Chevron. My conscience couldn't take it. So I imagine that there are other people that work there that if they thought about it, they also would not have a conscience that would allow them to work there. So, you know, I mean, I think what we need to do is massive education to young people especially, but adults as well. And we need to have media out there that is actually telling people the story. And it's unfortunate that mainstream media can just repeat the same lies over and over and over and drill things into people's heads, like the fact that 9/11 and Saddam Hussein are connected. Now half of America seems to believe that, and it's all just because it was repeated and repeated. And independent media doesn't have the kind of access to sort of repeating, and it's sad that that's what it takes to really get to people. And so it's a massive overhaul that we need to have.
Now, right behind you, there are a couple dozen riot cops, and they're in the process of arresting protesters who are blocking the street, and they're basically coming in one by one and arresting these protesters, maybe 50 or so protesters. What do you think about these people who are willing to risk arrest this morning? Is that going to send out a message to the employees?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a very good message. I'm proud of these people, and I think it's important to be out here blocking the street. If it wasn't for them blocking it, we wouldn't have the police here, and we wouldn't have... Well, that's great. And we wouldn't be making trouble for people to get in. People are having to go through riot police and having to watch people get pushed by batons just to get into work. And I think, you know, especially if we call that out and say, hey, look how you have to get to work today. You have to be allowed in by people carrying guns. What does that say about the corporation you work for? And so I think that's a very important. I think that blocking this is extremely important. And I think that San Ramon, I don't know, this community out here probably doesn't see anything like this very often at all. So I think it's important for people to see all this peacefulness.
Now here we have Chevron and the Texas Oil Company, headquartered in the Bay Area of all places. Don't you think we should come back and bring them this message over and over again so they get it?
Yeah, definitely. I think we should be here more often. And I'm kind of surprised this is the first time I've been out here. And I really didn't know exactly where they were, you know? And I just heard that Lockheed Martin, I didn't even know they were in Sunnyvale, so that's coming up on April 22nd. And then also I heard that there's like a delegation of 13 people coming from Ecuador in a month, and they're going to be coming out to Chevron and making some kind of demonstration. So I think we should be there to support them as well.
Okay, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Yes, Mark, thank you.
You're supposed to cut that part out, Mark.
Every time. I just keep playing that over and over accidentally.
You are listening to Enemy Combatant Radio, and we were on live that morning, and I just wanted to jump in to talk about Henry Clark, the executive director of the West County Toxics Coalition, who called in and talked with us on Enemy Combatant Radio that morning, and it was really some great information. And there's an article here about him at moles.org, moles.org/Project Underground, and I won't go further into that, but or into that web address, but I'm sure you can find it if you look for Henry Clark. And he was he lives in Richmond, and he told us about the high levels of asthma and the struggles they are having in this community to fight the toxicity, the dioxins that are possibly, here it says, 165 times that reported by regional health officials and the oil refineries themselves, and causing really some horrible problems for that community in Richmond. And that is very much a population environmental racism, because it's a community, very high community of color and minorities there in Richmond District, living right next to this massive oil refinery project that Chevron runs. So another reason fighting locally and globally this war profiteer.
If you go to the website of the Environmental Defense Fund, you can actually check out all of the air pollution statistics, which prove these are you know, mostly government gathered statistics released by the EPA that prove that neighborhoods near these refineries in Richmond and other towns in the Bay Area have by far the highest cancer rate. Now the whole Bay Area as a whole actually has some pretty elevated cancer rates, and that is in part due to things like car exhaust, and which really builds up every day, especially on these warm sunny days that we've been having. But in these communities with the oil refineries, things are many times worse, and these people have all kinds of different cancers, from respiratory to urinary tract, to all kinds of different things you wouldn't even expect. So Environmental Defense Fund website, check that out. I do have a little bit of music from the Brass Liberation Orchestra, Liberating the Sidewalks at Chevron Texaco, so we can fade into that music.
Liberation Orchestra, is that what it was?
Yep, that's right.
And if you've been missing out on some of this fun of these sort of actions going on, well, you've got an opportunity to take your own brass orchestra out to Tuesday's action at Lockheed Martin in Sunnyvale. And there's a menu of actions here that you can choose from. and three separate actions are recommended for that day. And you can decide on one of these. You can do a mass die-in, represent victims of Lockheed Martin missiles by laying down in the streets as a casualty of war. A civilian weapons inspector, inspect Lockheed Martin for weapons of mass destruction. Come prepared to investigate. Or you can be part of a blockade and form a human chain to shut down the war profiteers. Bring music and be ready to celebrate life. So if you're a musician out there, bring your instruments is one way to participate in the fun of shutting down the war profiteer. So
many people are going to be heading down to Sunnyvale the evening before the action, to have a spokes council meeting there and get ready for the action, doing any sort of art making or other things. So if you do head down that evening, you'll be able to have a place to stay. There's some donated accommodations that will be available, and then you'll get transport to the protest site in the morning. So you can get information on that arrangement at actagainstwar.org, and I'm pretty sure they have all the details that you need to meet up with folks Monday evening.
And again, Enemy Combatant Radio will be live that day on Tuesday the 22nd to cover this action, and you can give us a call in. You can be our eyes and ears out there if you're out there. And the number is 415-864-1006. And, of course, the Indie Media, SF Indie Media website will be updating things throughout the day to keep you posted on what is happening out in Sunnyvale. So what have we got coming up, Mark?
Well, that's all the reports that I have from Chevron Texaco. There are some other reports that have been on San Francisco Liberation Radio news, which is Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. And so I'm going to try to load up some of those reports for you.
Just a reminder, too, this is now the weekly Enemy Combatant Radio that is, we think, going to continue from 8 to 11 here on this netcast. So in addition to covering the live protests, we'll try to give you some more constructed information on Sunday nights here from the SF Indie Media Center. And, oh, we got something in the iTunes.
So I have a report, actually. This is from the Oakland Docs. This is a compilation of interviews from the Oakland Docs that was aired on San Francisco Liberation Radio News. So we'll bring that to you. You can find out more about San Francisco Liberation Radio News at liberationradio.net, which is the website for 93.7 FM San Francisco Liberation Radio.
Oh, shout out to SFLR, folks. Thank you.
Have established a community picket line in front of the two entrances of APL, and basically the ILWU workers have been sent home by the arbitrator, and they're not coming to work until the next shift. So we've shut down APL for this part of the day.
The way I see it is that there's clear winners and losers in the state of war, and the winners include the corporations, the Department of Defense, and the others in the U.S. administration, the pundits and the people in the corporate media who profit from putting out the information that we usually see on corporate TV. And the losers are the soldiers, you know, on both sides in the war. Those of us out here who are dissenting, people in the Oakland School District who, you know, 1,000 teachers were laid off 2 weeks ago, we can't afford to pay for good schools for our children. So we're the losers, and we're out here, and we're trying to protest. We're trying to say, you know what, enough is enough. You know, stop funding this war. Stop sending our people, and most of whom are people of color, over to Iraq to kill, you know, the brothers and sisters who are Iraqi.
We're out here to confront APL, which is the main contractor at the Oakland port with the U.S. military, and they hold a contract to ship military cargo out of Oakland, so we're here to confront them.
APL is one of the largest shippers coming out of the Oakland docks. They have two entrances here in the Oakland docks, and they have a direct contract with the Department of Defense, so that during a state of war, many of their ships are made available for shipping arms and shipping other goods that the military might need during time of war. Most of the boats that go out of here go to Guam, And that's a part of Oceania. That's another place where the U.S. has heavy military involvement.
There's a lot of precedents for community pickets. They were used during the fight against apartheid in South Africa. They were also used to block a ship from England that was trying to unload in Oakland after workers had been locked out in England. And that ship was blocked here in Oakland. They tried to unload in Japan. They were blocked there. And then eventually the company sold off the whole ship with everything on it because they couldn't unload it anywhere. So there's been a long history of social justice movements sparking community picket lines that then made it possible for the ILWU to not go to work and not unload that cargo.
Recruiters come into our high schools and they basically tell people of color and other young people, you don't have a chance to survive in this world. You need to go to the military to get job skills and job placement. And so a lot of young people, you know, fall into the trap, and they see it as a way out of whatever situation they're in. And so people of color, especially because we're targeted in this country on a number of levels, whether it's through the INS or whether it's through just the regular police force in our town, the military is seen as a way out. And I know so many young people who enlist never expect to actually go and fight a war. I mean, 4 years ago, did we believe that we'd be in another war with Iraq? You know, I don't think so. So I know that, you know, there's lists and lists that are coming out of people who are over there. I don't know the percentage, but I do know that disproportionately our people are targeted for enlistment in the military. And we're killing other people of color abroad, right? So it's just another racist intervention of the United States in another country.
I think the civilian body count up there is really, really high. I mean, I don't think they're doing anything to liberate the Iraqi people at all. And anything, if anything, they're probably just liberating that land for American government space. So, yeah, it's very confusing as to, you know, the people who are getting killed and the people who, you know, you can't tell the difference between an accident and intent anymore. That's the image I get, at least from watching the news, and it's very, very depressing, especially since we have the world's quote-unquote, you know, most intelligent and biggest army. Then why are we killing ourselves, and, you know, why is all this happening?
There was just a shot fired, and people are kind of dispersing. I'm wondering if you can kind of describe what you're looking at right now.
Yeah, the cops have just fired 3 rounds of tear gas, and people are running in the opposite direction. That's the 4th round that you hear right now. So puffs of tear gas are floating. It's about 500 yards from where we are now. It's pretty hard to see. People are trying to remain calm and walking away rather than running, but the police have definitely lost control of the situation.
We've been forgetting about the war, and it's been more about the antagonism between the police and the protesters. But the fact is, what's amazing me about this situation is the polar opposites of, on the one hand, complete breakdown of democracy in terms of a government that does not listen to its people nor the rest of the world. But at the same time, you have new democracies forming within, for example, the anti-war movement, and new coalitions and forms of structure and forms of society.
I was watching the news this morning. It was around like 2 or 3 a.m. And a taxi with a man, a woman, taxi driver. There's more gunfire, as you can hear, and there's clouds of small clouds of tear gas. But anyway, back to my story. Let's get behind this truck. A man, a woman, and a small infant were gunned down by U.S. military this morning, or I think maybe a few hours ago, but they were gunned down after trying to get past a checkpoint. And there's been a lot of these quote-unquote accidental civilian deaths. There's a lot of small children who seem to be getting killed. There are kids with signs picketing, and they have banners, and there's animals out here. And the scene kind of looks very, very strange. Like, the streets are literally empty. It's just full of protesters. And the cops have been using some force, as I said earlier. There's small clouds of tear gas, which have kind of gone around. I see people with masks over their face. And there's just a lot of people out there who are still protesting, but they're being driven away slowly by a police motorcade. And they're upping their force.
Yeah, I'd say this is one of the most unnecessary displays of violence and police brutality that I've seen at protests so far. I don't have much experience with the Oakland police, but they seem very different from San Francisco. They, like I said, they started off right away with the rubber bullets and tear gas. And they also, I've heard, have had reports of one of the legal observers being arrested and roughed up. completely against the rules and not necessary, and they were trying to take someone out of a car, and he got hit by I heard he got hit by a bean bullet. Those are examples of what's happened today, and it's been completely unnecessary. They've been hurting the crowd, even as they're walking, and just shooting as people are dispersing.
It's very peaceful, the picket line, the way it rotates around, and it promotes peacefulness. And the only thing that wasn't made clear is the officers didn't work with the organizers or with anyone to try to keep them moving. They kept shuffling people, like kind of beating them from side, making a move, hitting them again, making a move, but without any clear direction.
A few minutes ago, I saw a woman get hit by a motorcycle with a cop, and he attempted to run her over again and she didn't get out of the street. And another one of his officers had to stop him when he saw kids taking photos. So a lot of cops are doing that. And the first protest, the lockdown, they were doing that too. They were they had to tell their own officers to stop, you know. And when another cop has to tell another cop to stop, then you know something has gone wrong. We're shutting down the docks and we're trying to, you know, not support the shipment of, you know, war supplied materials to there. And, you know, this is America and they want to make their money, so they're going to use necessary force. Any force is good force as long as they get their money.
I was caught in the middle of a crowd when the police rushed. The motorcycles lined up in a line, and they didn't give people sufficient time to walk away. It was a peaceful protest, and right away they started shooting rubber bullets and throwing, I guess, flash bombs. And they're throwing the flash bombs directly at people before they explode. And so a lot of people are getting injured, and when people get caught up in that, if they even stagger a little bit, right away they start to shoot them. It's pretty excessive for a peaceful protest.
Okay, and you have, like a kind of an egg-sized lump on your leg. I was wondering if you could explain how that got there.
As I got caught when the police line rushed, I curled up in the middle just not knowing what to do. They told me to get up and walk away. When I got up and walk away, another officer that didn't know that I had already complied or just, I don't know why, shot me in the back of the leg.
Yeah, we were being told to disperse from one of the picket lines. I made the announcement on the megaphone that they were telling us to disperse and that we needed to do it peacefully if people didn't want to get arrested. We started moving down the road. It was a big crowd, so it was hard to move fast, and we didn't want to run, trample people over. So we were walking down peacefully. I was announcing on the megaphones to the cops that we were dispersing peacefully by their order. They started firing grenades, like flash and bang grenades that have a little bit of tear gas in them. I was standing next to a car so I wouldn't get hit, but it didn't work. I was telling them on the megaphone that we were retreating peacefully, dispersing, and they fired a grenade that hit me in the arm. I've got a big bruise on it. I can feel it in like the tendons that go down to my hand. And then it exploded next to me, and I got some tear gas in my face.
We have to recognize that protesters aren't just protesters. We're people. We're people with jobs. Many of us belong to unions. Many of us are mothers and fathers and students. We're not some kind of strange group of people who don't have other things that we do in our lives. It's just that we care a lot.
This is Enemy Combatant Radio broadcasting from San Francisco Indie Media. I also wanted to give a mention to the protest we had here in the Bay Area on April 18th, just a couple days ago. Upwards of 300 anti-war and anti-nuclear activists gathered at Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Weapons Laboratory for the annual protest against the lab's continued research and development of weapons of mass destruction. Also this year, of course, protesters were focusing on the invasion and now occupation of Iraq. We don't have any audio from that protest that I've found as of yet, but you can check out photos and reports from that protest on sf.indymedia.org.
And just to give credit there, that piece from the Oakland docks was from Sarah Olson. So big props to her for being out in the field and capturing some amazing interviews out there. And something you all can actually, if you're out there listening, wondering how you might get involved in all of this, well, we rely on people like you to post things to the Indie Media site, and you could be doing the same thing. You could be out there interviewing, getting people's emotions and outrage or whatever it may be, to cover stories that are going on in the media is kind of a small crew, so we always are looking for people to participate in it.
While we're on the topic of protests against military installations, I wanted to read this report on Das auf Indie Media Wires from today. This is from Santa Barbara. An anti-war protester who threw his own blood at the entrance sign at Vandenberg Air Force Base was sentenced to 2 months in federal prison. Dennis Apel, 52 years old, of Guadalupe, was sentenced Friday in federal court. A probation report had suggested a six-month jail term, saying his conduct is severely aggravated by current affairs and cannot be tolerated by civil society. He was also fined $50, which Apel said he would refuse to pay, although failure to do so could carry a one-year jail term. Apel was arrested March 14th after he threw 4 ounces of his blood across the metal sign in front of the base. He pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges of vandalism and trespassing. Apel read a statement to the court saying he threw his blood as a last resort after rallies, prayer, and calls to elected officials had failed. I was determined that not one U.S. or Iraqi soldier or Iraqi citizen would lose their life without my utmost effort to prevent it, he said. Federal prosecutor Sharon McCaslin said that no one in the courtroom would cheer the violence of war, but she called his act, quote, grandstanding. Sunday night, April 20th, and I believe we got something else here to update you on. Another report from the Bay Area in the past week. On Wednesday, April 16th, demonstrators shut down the Israeli consulate. Wednesday was the beginning of Passover at sundown, and protesters led by Jews for a Free Palestine, as well as other supporters, marched to the Israeli consulate. They took over the lobby and interrupted business as usual, demanding an end to the genocidal war on the Palestinian people, also an end to the occupation and the ongoing illegal settlements in Palestine, as well as the upholding of international human rights for all Palestinians, including the right of refugees to return home. A group of 12 Jewish protesters attempted to deliver these demands to the consulate, but they were denied entrance. The organizers say they chose this day to shut down the Israeli consulate because, in their words, quote, it is impossible to celebrate Passover while the war on the Palestinian people continues to escalate. 205 children have been murdered in Rafah, a city in the Gaza Strip, in the last 2 months alone. Also, I did want to give an announcement on an upcoming union march, specifically on the excessive police force, which we've been discussing, used against protesters and workers at the Oakland docks. This protest is going to be coming up this Saturday, April 26th, at 1 p.m. at Jack London Square in Oakland. This is the office of the Oakland Port Authority, which is at 530 Water Street, and there will be a march from there to Oakland City Hall. This is being called by various union groups, including the International Longshore Workers Union Local 10 and the Alameda County Central Labor Council. For more information, you can call them at 510-632-4242.
And we mentioned before, as we were speaking with some of the video activists here from Whispered Media, that following Sunday, April 27th, is a party for Whispered Media, and you'll get to see some screenings there. ATA, I believe it's about 8 or 8:30, that happening on Sunday, April 27th, and you can check out the videoactivism.org website about that. Somewhat festive occasion anyway, with a Bush pinata to celebrate the work of Whispered Media. And I'll be there spinning some beats, and we'll have some special guests, and maybe you'll get to take a swing at the Bush pinata. I don't know how that's going to work out yet, who gets to go for the pinata on that event, but definitely going to be an interesting place to be on the 27th.
drive to the White Stog, where President George W. Bush is holding a special news conference for the benefit of the European Union. That is the voice of the German translator that we hear in the background.
To all the men and women of the United States Armed Forces now in the Middle East. In this conflict, America has no regard for conventions of war. For innocent men, women, and children. No regard for the great civilization, the religious faiths they practice, or rules of morality. Now that conflict has come, America has no regard for its own people, for the families of our military or millions of Americans praying with you, for the safety of your loved ones, or for the protection of the innocent. For your sacrifice, a final atrocity will require our sustained commitment. All those who serve will require our sustained commitment. A campaign on the harsh terrain of a nation as large as California could be longer and more difficult than some predict. The only way to limit its duration is to apply decisive force. And I assure you,
NBC song called Bush or Chimp.
We're talking Bush or Chimp. GW is here. Don't need a mandate. Sticks on his chest, grinning like a mandate. You know, they say White House all about de-evolution. Keep monkeying around and you get revolution. Is it true that America's land of the fucking limp, represented by a brain-dead, oil-rich wimp?
What?
But no, he's no wimp. He's tough like our pimp. But I just gotta know, is it Bush? Chimp.
That's what it is.
A track from Neighborhood Based Coalition, and they will be part of, or at least Zero K from Neighborhood Based Coalition will be part of our event at the Other Cinema on May 3rd, where you'll get to see films from the anti-globalization guerrillas like the Yes Men and Reverend Billy and Whispered Media, and some audio culture jams from myself meeting up with Zero K from Neighborhood Based Coalition. If you've been listening to Enemy Combatant Radio, we've been playing some of their great mixes, remixes of G.W. Bush. And thanks to the NBC folks, and I don't mean the National Broadcasting Corporation. That's NBC right here locally from the Bay Area. And you can catch them playing out live in various venues like this one, coming live, live recordings from Balazzo Gallery. So Neighborhood-Based Coalition, Enemy Combatant Radio, with you this evening on Sunday night, April 20th. And we are in burrito break mode, so stay tuned for some more beats. And big thanks to Bruce, if you're listening out there in Washington. I don't know if those funds came directly from you just yet for those burritos, but thank you for supporting Enemy Combatant Radio. You can do the same by going to the SF Indie Media site and pay for our burritos by clicking on the donating to SF IMC, and maybe post in there somewhere that you'd like it to go to the radio station, which we would like to have on the air as much as possible. But of course, our staffing is limited and exhausted after a lot of the crazy actions of the last few weeks. But we'd like to keep it a continuous stream if possible, and eventually we'll get there. So stay tuned to Enemy Combatant Radio. We'll be right back.
on the picket line down in Tacoma, and it was getting to be about time to do something to Kaiser Aluminum. So a bunch of folks got together, steelworkers, students, environmentalists, church people, kind of like the crowd that was in jail together, and we started planning a great big shutdown action against Kaiser Aluminum to shut it down. Well, the cops started saying all kinds of outrageous things about people, and spreading all sorts of rumors about people to keep folks divided against each other. And they said that the Eugene anarchists were going to come and do something very dangerous and evil and get the steelworkers in trouble for whatever dangerous and evil thing it was that they were going to do. Well, the steelworkers' leadership got very frightened of the 12 Eugene anarchists, and they decided to cancel the action. But we held two big labor and community marches in Tacoma anyway, and the cops went around to all the local businesses and told them not to let any marchers park in their parking lots because the Eugene anarchists were coming. And then when folks started showing up to march anyway, the cops made a very intimidating presence of themselves. Over 300 of them started pulling everybody over and ticketing people for anything they could think of to ticket people for. Luckily, before the cops could arrest everyone for doing absolutely nothing, like before, the longshoremen came through once again with a parking lot that was union property, about half a mile away from the Kaiser plant, and they let everybody park there to march. Well, my friend Bullfrog, he's a steel worker, he was marching with us that day. Bullfrog, he gets his name because of the way he talks to scabs when he's out on the picket line. "Scab," says Bullfrog. "Scab," he says. Well, Bullfrog is not the sort of guy you'd think of as an anarchist, at least not right off the bat. He really would just like to go to work and make a decent living and eat and sleep and go fishing and hang out with his family, and he wouldn't consider himself an anarchist. Well, he was marching with us, and as he was marching, two video cameras came up to Bullfrog, and they filmed him for a while, and that night on the news, a great big anarchy symbol flashed across the screen, and right after this anarchy symbol hit the screen, it clipped right to a picture of Bullfrog's face. Well, that made Bullfrog kind of a celebrity and a joke and a hero on the picket line, Bullfrog the Anarchist. So this is a song for Bullfrog. I was marching down a street to reinforce a labor strike. The cops, they had surrounded us with car and motorbike. Some newsmen walked right up and pointed cameras at me. And soon I was an anarchist, my face on the TV. Bullfrog, Bullfrog, Bullfrog on TV. Now I'd never broke a window and I'd been a peaceful man until the day they took my job and shoved it in a can. So I stepped out on the street and then they took my photograph, turning me into an anarchist. Ha ha ha, what a laugh. Bullfrog, Bullfrog, Bullfrog on TV.
our time's up in 5 minutes.
Yo, little Khadija pops is locked. She wanna pop the lock. My prison ain't nothing but a private stock. And she be dreaming about his day to release. She hates the police, but loved by her grandma who hugs and kisses her. Her father's a political prisoner, free Fred. Son of a panther that the government shot dead back in 12-4-1969. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's terrible, but it's fine. Cause Fred Hampton Jr. looks just like him, walks just like him, talks just like him. And it might be frightening the feds and the snitches to see him organize the gang, brothers and sisters. So he had to be framed, yo. You know how the gang go. 18 years because the 5-0 said so. They said he set it fire to an A-Rap store, but he ignited the minds of the young black and poor. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Collect call from Ness. You know, shit is crazy, boy. Yo, I miss you. You know what? Put some money in my commissary.
Lil' Kenny been smoking Lucy since he was 12. Now he 25, locked up with an L, they call him Triple K. Cause he killed 3 niggas, another ghetto child got turned into a killer. His pops was a Vietnam veteran on heroin, used like a pawn by these white North Americans. Mama couldn't handle the stress and went crazy. Grandmama had to raise the baby, just a young boy, born to a life of poverty. Hustling, robbery, whatever brung the paper home. Carried the chrome like a blind man, hold a cane, tattoos all over his chest so you could know his name. But y'all know how the game goes. D's kicked in the front door, and guess who they came for? A young nigga headed for the pen, could have been, should have been, never see the hood again. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail gate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up behind enemy lines. My niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail gate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Cuando yo llamo es como tú no me quieres escuchar. No he visto mis hijos, mi mujer. No me mandan retratos, no tengo dinero. Estoy aquí jodido en la cárcel, metido.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block. You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy lines.
And you are listening to Enemy Combatant Radio, and that from a compilation CD given to us by the Biotic Baking Brigade. So big shout out to the folks who gave us a lot of tracks to play for ECR. And just listening to that track, want to remind us all that the war at home, as we're discussing all of this with the Iraqi situation and the corporate agenda as well. There's communities of color under siege at home. And if you check out the Blue Triangle Network, bluetriangle.org, you'll see that the next date posted for the INS registrations are coming up on April 26th. And there's an action going to be happening there for to protest the INS registrations on April 26th, and trying to pull that information up on the website right now, but can't find it. But ECR, Enemy Combatant Radio, will be up on that day, and I believe it's Friday, April 26th, and we're going to cover that story and try to do some interviews with people from the Blue Triangle Network, and also some other guests related to those stories. Maybe we'll get someone from the Arab Arab Anti-Discrimination Coalition, ADC, I believe it's called. And so covering the war at home as well as things that are going on around the world here at Enemy Combatant Radio, live with you Sunday night. And I'm Pod P with you. Been having a lot of guests in the studio tonight. Gino here is helping us with the IRC channels and the research on the web and all kinds of great footage that he's been giving to us to play the audio from. So big shout out for all the work that's being done around here at the Indie Media Center. And again, thanks to the Biotic Baking Brigade for some of those tracks that came to us through them. And if you are wanting to participate somehow in the Indie Media audio, there is a subscriber list for that, and we are also trying to collect as much anti-war tracks possible to keep in our audio library here. So you can send us stuff to the best way actually is to send us physical CDs in the mail to the SF Indie Media Center, and you can get that address at sf.indiemedia.org. And so yeah, send us what you'd like to hear on the Enemy Combatant Radio, and we can put it into the archives in our playlist. So Mark B, did you have something? No, you're plugging stuff in. So Enemy Combatant Radio here with you live, and we'll go back to some more tracks.
Finest military machine in the world.
Caught up in a mix like this, gotta get out the hood, couldn't find a fix. My jump shot been fell off and I had to forfeit. My drug career couldn't make shit. I'm thinking if I graduate, I can't be the man making $8 an hour with no health plan. And no damn dental in the same residential brothers who stick you up with your blind or mental. My high school teacher said he had a friend with an uncle who could bring problems to it. And I'm like, yes, now I'm feeling like the world's in my hand. Till he told me that the name of his uncle was Sam.
Land, staying up all night praying, my Lord. He got me in a tight situation, stop playing. Awaken at 5 in the a.m. It's hotter than a sauna without the sun. Today I learned how to murder without the gun. But killing ain't fun. I'd rather be chilling with my honey bun. That's all done. I marched to the beat of a drum. Taught to eat crumbs similar to street bums. The saying is real in the field. Cats for pills. How you gonna eat a hot meal?
Right.
In my whole platoon's full of goons. They march to a different zone. First there's Billy the bigot. Bigger bastard said he wanna fight me. I slapped him. He told me to sleep lightly. So now I can't sleep. That's deadly. Billy wanna kill me in my sleep like Freddy.
Teach the art of killing.
Not really the place, not obvious. Now I'm overseas in a foreign metropolis. People looking just like me, labeled the enemy. Practicing my own pursuit, saying they're dead at me. What the nigga supposed to do? Told the officer, yo, this was for you. If you keep me out of bullshit outfit that don't fit and never will. Before the order comes down and I have to kill. I don't wanna be a part of your Babylon slaughter. Murdering Adam's sons and daughters. I thought I got through and helped my situation. But the sick motherfucker demonstrated no patience, saying very bluntly, quickly to the cue, better follow orders or I have to shoot you.
You had best never drop that rush. You had best take better care of that rush when you ever thought to take care of yourself. You got that?
Yep.
Staring in my eyes for an answer. I gave a split like a dancer. I gotta think fast, do the right thing. If I stand tall, then they might bring lightning. Fuck that, I got four cats. They try to bust me, yo, I'ma bust back at night. Shit got hairier, scarier. Had to bury your sergeant back at the rest area. I want out right now. I'm going A-war some way, somehow. Yeah, check the plan of escape. I'ma skate with the launcher truck around 8. I had to wait till the last man fell out. Time to get the hell out. The truck opened up to unload the garment. I hopped in the back, posed as a sergeant. Decorated with the stripes of a hero. The whole plan went like a needle. Remember what the mass pipe say, y'all. You don't wanna play ball, go A-ball.
listening live to Enemy Combatant Radio, Pod P, with you here. And that was Claude Kalhoub, a Lebanese violinist in collaboration with a Qawwali singer. And I don't have his name because I don't have that booklet with me, but just wanted to follow that track up with that information about April 26th being the next INS date for registration. And I can't find the action update on the bluetriangle.org website, but it will undoubtedly be there in the next couple days. Included in there, though, is the story of story about Sami Al-Aryan in Tampa, Florida, and the Blue Triangle, it reads here, the Blue Triangle Network expresses grave concern over the arrest of Professor Sami Al-Aryan in Tampa and four others on terrorism-related allegations. Professor Al-Aryan has undertaken a hunger strike in jail to protest his arrest, and this, too, is a cause for concern. After his arrest, Al-Aryan made this statement, "I'm crucified today because of who I am, a stateless Palestinian, an Arab, a Muslim, an outspoken advocate for Palestinian rights, but more significantly, a persistent defender of civil and constitutional rights on the home front." So this protest on April 26th also related to those already being detained. And the immigrant detention story is a very critical situation. There is also stories of mass arrests happening, and mass deportations. And we're going to follow that closely, and we will be live on the ECR to cover some of those stories in detail on April 26th. So stay tuned for that. And also, again, to remind you, we will be live on Tuesday, April 22nd from early in the morning, I believe 7 a.m. Sunny will be coming in to cover the action at Lockheed Martin in Sunnyvale. And you can check out more about that action. We've talked about it a bit tonight earlier, but you can go to actagainstwar.org to follow that story, and or the sf.indymedia.org website, which you obviously have found if you are listening to us on Enemy Combatant Radio here live with you. And stay tuned. We'll be closing out in just a little bit, but play some more music as we're closing. And thanks again to all the folks here tonight that have been around to talk with and interview. We had Russell from stencilarchive.org, a website using art to protest the war and the oppression at home, and using the net creatively to put some interesting things out there to our communities of resistance. And we had the video activists from, working all across the boards, from Whispered Media to the Video Activist Network, and screenings coming up you can check out at videoactivism.org. The updates are there on that website. So thanks to Gino, Jeff Taylor, crazyjeff.net, and all sorts of folks. Mark B has been in here. Maybe he'll come back before we close out. So Pod P with you, and going back to some music.
world peace or world talk.
Thank you.
is Enemy Combatant Radio signing off from San Francisco Indie Media for April 20th, 2003. We'll be back on no later than Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., broadcasting live from Lockheed, where there will be a direct action against the war. Also, call in your reports here at 415-864-1006 because Enemy Combatant Radio relies on your reports live from the streets. So thanks for listening, and please give us a call the next time we're on.